Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I have been practicing this. I'm pretty sure I'll get through it. If you snicker, you won't offend me because I may not be right on a pronunciation of a couple of these names. But the first 18 verses. The record of Jesus' ancestors. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. A record of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeroham. Jeroham, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to exile to Babylon, and 14 from exile to Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Stop right there and join me within prayer as we ask for God's blessing to His Word. Heavenly Father, set upon our hearts the desire to learn from You, to grow from You, to know from You. That these words spoken are of not mine, that they are what You have given through Holy Spirit, that they will aid us through the week to come and strengthen us evermore in our walk following Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we all pray. Amen. That was tough, and I probably butchered about half of them, but I gave it my best shot. After a while, well, thank you, Sonia. It's interesting that we read that, because it leads me to Sir Henry. Now, you all need to know about Sir Henry. And I'm sure probably you don't. See, Sir Henry wasn't always Sir. He was Henry first. He was Anthony's son. And Anthony was an inventor. Anthony lived in Britain. And he came up with great ideas. And he worked to invent things. And every time he invented things, somebody stole the patent from Anthony and went on to make the money that should have been Anthony's. But he never despaired. He continued on until finally he invented a process for making chains of gold, which was not able to be done at that time, and quickly patented, was successful, bought a small estate, in the village of Charlton near Hitchin in Hertfordshire, and where Henry was born in 1813. You see, Henry was destined to bring forth a new era. He was destined, did not know it at the time, he was destined to figure out something which had plagued mankind for thousands of years. And he did it by accident. Henry was an inventor like his father, and he grew up into that neighborhood where the Industrial Revolution was underway and was trying to take place. We all know from history that the Industrial Revolution in England came forth to this great continent. But there was a big problem with the Industrial Revolution. It came in the form of this. Time for props. Does anybody know what that is? Don't say a frying pan. What is it? Cast iron. Anybody in here ever fooled with cast iron? Can you bend it? Can you accidentally drop it from a great height and it'll be okay? Will it bust into a million pieces? Can you overheat cast iron? No. What happens if you overheat cast iron? What happens to it? Anybody overheated their cast iron skillet? What did it do? Cracked. Broke. Cast iron is one of the most unforgiving steels in the world. But until Henry was born, that's what you built with. Not frying pans. Cast iron. You built bridges out of cast iron. You built track for railroads out of cast iron. You built doors out of cast iron. Everything was built out of cast iron because it's all that men knew how to do. Since the days before Christ our Savior, man had endeavored to figure out a way to take pig iron, which is the iron in the ground, which they used to pour in the dirt, and turn it into something more than cast iron, which had problems. We know that in the Bible, cast iron was spoken of as being what? Brittle. We heard about it in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The feet would be made of what? Iron and dirt. Pig iron. It'd be brittle. Cast iron was brittle. It's good for what it's used for, but for strength and endurance, it doesn't last. See, in Henry's day, everything was made in cast iron. And he struggled with it. And so he began to experiment with it. Cast iron was so scary that even though they used it and built bridges out of it, it constantly failed. In the time of the Industrial Revolution, in a period of 20 years, there were 4 major bridge failures and 2 major building collapses in England. Now, they had tried to make cast iron into steel, which is the process of getting rid of all the carbon and the impurities, and I'm not going to go into it because if I do, you'll be doing this. I love it. I read that stuff and I'm like, oh man, look at that boy. That's a page turner. But they couldn't do it. In order to get steel from cast iron, you had to burn 15 tons of coal. Henry decided there was a better way to do this. And he was playing with it and playing with it. And one day while building what he called a conical smelter, he upset the thing by accident. And some of the steel, the cast iron, the hot molten metal that was in there spilled out into an air source. And he noticed that what was left behind was steel. And so Henry J. Bessemer, began the Bessemer process. And today we have steel. Henry got steel by taking his smelters and sending high-powered air into the bottom of them, blowing in oxygen and blowing out the impurities. Henry J. Bessemer ushered in a new era, the likes of which is still used today. Mild cold-rolled steel. You know what you do with this? You take this piece of bar stock, you stick it over there in the old coal forge, and you wait till she gets orange, A little bit close to weight, then you pick up the hammer and you walk to the anvil. And from this simple piece of bar stock, you can create endless possibilities. A new era was ushered in. Henry Bessemer described his process, which in 1856, he said it was the way to manufacture iron without fuel. And he was so concerned with it. I had to put that down or I'll point at you all through the service. He was so impressed with it and so concerned that he made sure it was for the good of mankind. He even went to a man by the name of James Naismith, who had almost created the same thing. And after hearing Henry speak, quit and said, "Your work helped me. Take a part of my company." And James said, "No, I'm tired and I don't want to do this anymore." Now, Henry's process still needed to be cured a little bit, and he became friends with a fellow by the name of Robert Forrester Muchette, another Englishman, who figured out how to make iron the cheapest. You add to it. You burn the impurities, and you add other properties to it. And again, long drawn out situation. I would love to explain it to you. If anybody would like to hear it, put your hands up and I'll start talking right now. But we'll be here till the sun goes down. But the bottom line is, steel, iron, was turned into steel. And at a point in the 1800s, when 1 ton of steel cost 7,000 British pounds, it now cost 10 pounds. And a new era was ushered in. I want you to stop and think for a minute. How many things around you have steel in them? All you've got to do is look around this room. There it is, there it is, here it is, there it is. A new era was formed. He tried to get people involved in it. And at first they wouldn't do it because the idea was too new. It was too radical. So he continued to take out patents and more patents. And finally he found a small firm on the north end of London who said, "We'll try it." And Henry went to them and said, "Do it this way. We'll use Muchette's buildings and we'll make steel." And at the end, he saw his own idea developed, come to fruition, and he gained the reward from it in millions of pounds sterling in the 1870s. Which he gave much away. And Henry Bessemer became knighted, became Sir Henry. A new era! Can you think right now of your life without steel in it? Try it! Try thinking you won't have any electricity. That's steel out there on top of them lines. You won't drive your car home. You won't watch TV, listen to the radio, talk on a telephone. You won't walk down the street to the building where you got to work with safety shoes on. You won't be able to shut the door. Your key won't fit in the lock. Think about it. A new era. All ushered in from steel, a new era. And as great as that was, as wonderful as that was, as long as a line of inventors as it was trying to get that right, it came down to one man. Brothers and sisters, that is what Christmas is. A long line of men serve to put forth the effort to bring Jesus Christ the Messiah here on this earth. Amen. That's what it all comes down to. Nobody ever reads that first several verses of Matthew chapter 1 because you can't pronounce those names. And I don't blame you. But you should know it. You should know that it all came down to Jesus Christ. And if you look at the Bible, go back again, if you will, to verse 16. "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ, the Messiah." The new era. The beginning. The thing that will change our lives forever. Ever. We look at this holiday. Yes, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's how it is. And Linda made allusion to the three wise men. And you know, I know that old joke about the guy that went down south. Everybody's heard that, right? So you never heard that? She got a fella down south on business, stops at a local convenience store after seeing the nativity out in front of the church, way down deep south, and he says to the man, "I love that nativity, but Why were the three wise men dressed as firefighters? And the grocery store clerk says, ain't you never read your Bible? And he says, yes, I have. And she said, well, then you'd know in the Bible it said the three wise men came from afar. To herald the birth of a new era, a new beginning, the beginning. The best thing that would ever happen to this ball of dirt was Jesus Christ's heralded birth. That's what we look forward to as that day approaches. Try to imagine it now without Jesus in your life. I can think of a couple people in this room that could tell you what it would be like. Imagine where you would sit this moment today without Jesus Christ ever having entered in. You know the other side now. You know what the world was like when it was all cast iron. But you now know what the world's like when there's steel. You know what the world was like when you couldn't bend, when you couldn't perform, when you were so brittle you'd break. And now you have been blown out of impurities and refined and been prepared to go to work. Because he came down. He came down through the generations. He gave a genealogy all the way back to the beginning. Verse 18 says, and this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. It does not say this is how it might have happened. It doesn't say this is what we think happened. The gospel writer Matthew says, this is what happened. A new era began. James N. Arlington, in his works for a book called Answering Islam, wrote these words. The three-year ministry of Jesus Christ, culminating in his death and resurrection and his establishment of his church, makes all the difference in the transition from the Old Testament or covenant to the New Testament or covenant. In those three short years, he ushered in a new era of salvation, although the old era contained the seeds of the new. You understand what that means, brothers and sisters? You got to have cast iron before you can get steel. You have to have the sloppy old pig iron, the stuff you can't work with, until before you can have steel. You have to have this, and it has to be clean, and from that comes the steel. A new era. In Matthew chapter 5, turn over with me. We read a set of words that Jesus actually spoke that sometimes get misunderstood. My fingers aren't working this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus is talking about the law here in Matthew as he wrote it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says these simple words, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. A new era. The seeds of the old grew the new. And if you follow that very carefully, Jesus Christ says, this will be the era that we live in until I come back to take you home. Welcome to Christmas. That's the meaning of Christmas. When you want to get it boiled down to its simplest fact, we often, Jesus Christ was born on that day. Unless you believe some other false religion. And I'll use that term, and I ain't afraid of it. You either believe Christianity, or Christmas has no meaning. Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. A child came through earthly host parents. Laid in a manger in the dirt and squalor. To be made a king. To usher in the new era. Do you agree? That's the beauty of it all. That's the beauty of what Christmas means. As we look toward the beginning and we're now here, I'm getting wound up because I got to tell you, there's Christmas everywhere around me. I got books out. We're watching the Christmas videos. I tell you right now, you go find the movie A Miracle on 34th Street, the new one, where Santa Claus talks to the little deaf girl. I dare you not to cry at that part, although I don't. I'm riding by manger scenes. We're setting mangers up all over the house. How many have we got so far? Three or four? And we've got boxes full of them, and I love having them everywhere. We stand in approach of something that was so glorious. Have you seen the billboard out here on Longmeadow Pike or Leitersburg Pike for the Baptist Church? This baby changed everything forever. I wish I'd have thought of that for a sermon title. I'm going to call Pastor Larry and ask him if I can steal it. But it's the truth. Christmas means a new era. We look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ all the way down, and it stops there. The new era has begun. By His birth, we are all saved. By His death, we are all saved. By His resurrection, we are all saved. And all we had to do was ask for it and go from being the cast iron to the steel. Go from being the impure to being purified, to living in a world where we know that no matter what we get knocked around with, on the other end is a golden shore where we will live with Him forever. And the birth of a simple baby did that. And they changed lives. I love looking at the little birth of a baby that I see every Sunday in front of me and how much it's changed lives. I know what it did for me. You know what it did for you. A new era has begun. We stand, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of it now. Last Sunday, we were admonished not to be in too much of a hurry. This Sunday, we stand at the beginning to watch a new era come in. Over the next several Sundays, we will look at that and what it meant and what it still means and what it will mean. And we will prepare our hearts and minds as Christmas Day comes. And if you think I'm excited, I am, because I get to preach in this pulpit on Christmas morning. Hallelujah! And you better be here, because I'm going to be wound up. Basically, because I have two boys that have been up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Nonetheless, we stand looking at the new era. It was the same thing He said in that chapter in Matthew when He said, I am here to complete the law. When He came into your heart, when He opened you up and started cleaning it out, He ushered into you a new era to where the things of the past seem distant. I looked through some photo albums as we were cleaning out this room, and I saw myself when I was still cast iron. And I had to just sit there for a minute and stare in unbelief. It seemed so far along, so long ago that I was that person. And yet, for those of you brothers and sisters here, realize this, that today, first Sunday in December, I start my 5th year here. Cast iron to steel. The old law seeded the new covenant. A new era waits to greet us as Christmas approaches. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. As we prepare to go away from here, let these words be upon us. A new era. Jesus Christ has ushered it in. The birth of this child that we come to celebrate is so much more than a statue under a tree or a gift. It is the reason that we have hope for eternal future. For without Him, all is lost. All is broken. And yet with Him, we have all. Strengthen us, Father, as we go from here today and depart, and let these words be upon us that we may come to know Him closer. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's children said, Amen. Amen. If you have need of today, if there is something within you today that cries out for it, I would ask that you would come forward and share with us in prayer as we do the last hymn. If you need help finding your way back to Christ, if you need to reset things as we sing this last hymn.
Please stand, turn to number 250. Strength, comfort, and guidance through whatever has been given upon you. I pray that you take the hand of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and in Him dwell now and forever and ever. Amen.